Hey Marie, my sheep know my voice, and the path that I take they follow wherever I go. Do so,
my sheep know my voice, and the path that I take they follow wherever I go. My sheep know my voice and come at my call, but a stranger's voice do they not know. My sheep know as day by day, that sheep know my own as day by day. They abide in the finding that go not astray, and guard in the fold that stray not astray. They love me, love me, I make them my choice.
Let's bow our heads. Our gracious Heavenly Father, We thank you, Father, for this opportunity we have to share in this way. We thank you for the freedom that we often take for granted. We thank you for everyone that is present here. We just pray, Father, that your spirit would work and move among us. We ask that as your word is shared, as we look into your word, that your spirit would just work in a marvelous way. We know that each one of us have various needs, and we just pray that your spirit would touch those needs and heal those needs so that we in turn can bring glory to your name. Just pray, Father, that you might help me to be able to say and do things that would bring glory to your name and draw us all closer to you. We thank you again. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. It's a little bit exciting from the standpoint that Gerald and I did not really confer. We talked yesterday, but we did not confer some things. And Gerald's burden correlates with what I feel the Lord is wanting to share, want me to share today. I know that you might get tired of me emphasizing Jesus, but he's everything to me. And I was just thinking here, this past week, what did God do for you? What did God do for you this past week? What was your walk like? What was your battle like? How did you come through it? I'm going to give you a couple of stories that happened to me this week, and it gives me goosebumps when I realize how God works in our lives. Last week, I'm a farmer. I have a chicken house. I have a generator. I have dirty rooms and a lot of stuff laying around. And anyway, I was feeding my pigs, and we have what we call it the generator room. And I walked through there, and something just said, "Clean this up." Just the generator. You know, there was things laying against it. There was cobwebs and all this stuff. Oh well, yeah. I mean, I do run it like 10 or 15 minutes, and it's no big deal for tests. But something told me I need to clean this up. So I cleaned stuff away, blew the cobwebs down, just blew the engine down, and I didn't think a whole lot about it until Thursday. This past week, we were in the shop, lights blinked, went on, lights blinked again, and my daughter called and said, "Get up here right away, there's a fire," and I heard a boom. My neighbor's transformer blew up, and the pole was on fire, electricity went out, the generator kicked in, and by the way, I have this little mark up here because I have two exhaust pipes coming out, and it's right, I don't see it. After calling 911, PP&L, and making sure that people were not going through this stuff, I went down to the generator room, and something told me I should check this thing. And the one time I went down, there was a 2-inch cherry red burning inside my generator room, right beside the exhaust. It was that hot. And then I realized, well, that's not good. I put that out with water, and the one exhaust is outside, the other exhaust goes into my feed room light. And I went to open the door, and you have conduit with wire in it, and I couldn't open this door, and I realized that this conduit was so hot it drooped down and kept my door from opening. And I quick ran and got wire, tied that up, and things were getting hot in this room, and I went and got a drill and took metal off and propped it open so the heat would get out, and I went and got a hose, and I started spraying this building down, and this thing went on for 4 hours, because it was not a small project. I go back. I felt God told me to clean this generator room. If that wouldn't have happened the week before, I don't know where I'd be right now. because cobwebs catch fire real fast. That's my observation. So I thank God. God moves. God works. And the same God that you have, you can tap into. And I'm excited because God can work. Now, for the last little while here, I've been battling around things that I'll name three things. We live in a culture where earrings, makeup, and tattoos are in abundance. I said to somebody in the last 10 years, at least, I mean, I've seen people with tattoos from one arm to the other, and I mean, necks, I mean, the whole place is just coated with tattoos. And I'm like, Lord, what's this all about? Now, let me tell you, last Saturday, not this Saturday, the Saturday before, I had a unique experience. My day was busy. I had to go to the notary. I drove to the notary, got there, and I walked right in, right up to the counter, took care of my stuff, and I turned around. This room is full of people. Oh, that's strange. I walked out, and there was a man with tattoos, like head to toe. And I said to him, I said, sir, I have a personal question. What's the tattoos about? Oh, he said, it describes my life. I said, really? Yeah, he said, he used a word that I'm not going to say here, but he said it was bad, okay? And I said, well, that's sad. Yep, it's just my life. And I left there, went to the next place of business, one person in front of me. It wasn't long, I was through there. Went over to get gas, walked, drew right up to the pump, filled up my pump. I left there, and as I left, the cars were lined the whole way out to the road. I thought, well, that is really weird. I mean, everywhere I go, it just seems like I'm just going right forward. My next stop was Sheets. I come up to the door, and this older man opens the door for me. He was coming out, and I was going in. I said, well, thank you, sir. And he said, well, when I get old, you can hold the door for me. And I said, well, I said, I'm sure you're over 60. And he stood there and he said, by 19 years. And I said, sir, you look really good for 79. I said, I'm just so impressed. I said, what do you do? Well, he said, I'm retired, but he said, I work with addicts. I take them out of prison, move them here, there, work with addicts. And he said, in my process, I try and help them see what life is all about. And then I said to him, I said, well, I have a question for you. I said, you and I are similar vintage. And I said, in the last 10 years or so, it's crazy amount of people wearing tattoos and stuff. I said, what's your thoughts? He said, yeah, you're right. And he said, people are seeking for identity. They don't have identity. And if you were awake this morning in the first portion, identity came up just multiple times. And the question we like to look at today is, what is your identity? You know, what are you putting your identity in? This older man, we talked for over an hour at Sheets outside in the sun. We were there, and the first thing, this might sound a little unique. He was there before we got into the deep conversation. He said, I have a question for you. Are you Muslim? And I looked at him and I said, no, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he lit up. And he made this comment after we were talking for a long time. He made this comment. I have a couple things he said. People want identity. People need Jesus. And he said, a lot of what he thinks goes back to the fact when they took Bible reading and prayer out of school. People lost the foundation. They didn't have a foundation to hold on to. And I thought, That is an interesting observation. So then, as I said, we talked for a long time. And he said to me, he said, you know, John, he said, I normally don't talk to people like this. But he says, oh, he wanted to know where I went to church. I said, Shalom Bible Fellowship. And he said, unaffiliated? I said, yes. Oh, he said, that's the same same with us. And then he said, he asked me this, is, do you vote? I said, on my knees. Okay, he said, yeah, he can connect with that. Anyway, he just said that he does not normally talk to somebody that long, that freely. And he said, it was a pleasure meeting me. And he said, we can go on for more hours. He said, 2 hours or more. But he had an appointment he had to meet. But what I'm driving at, I serve a God that manipulated or worked my morning out so I could talk to this man. I really feel so. And later on that week, I had a chance to talk to another man that Thursday evening. This was after the electrical outage. I asked him the same question. I said, what's this about? What do you think about tattoos? And he said, people are seeking identity. And then he went on to say that he really thinks, he asked me this question. He says, when does iPhone come into place? I mean, when did they start iPhones? And so I Googled it, you know, I think it was 07. And he made this comment, which I thought was very interesting. He said he thinks technology has something to do with people losing their identity. Now let me explain. He said when Facebook and all these things came out, people put their attention on that, and they lost this one-on-one, eye-to-eye contact relationship. And he says that technology is destroying the relationship that God has intended us to enjoy. And I thought, wow, that was kind of interesting. And then I realized, you know, you don't have to go, we're living in a culture where you go to a hardware store, you go to a Giant, you go to a Wise, you go, and they have all these self-checkouts. There's no eye-to-eye contact. There's no one-on-one. And I'm gonna echo my cry. I go to the bank, I go inside, and I talk to the tellers. They know who I am. They know me by name. And to me, that's special. And my cry is, if Jesus does not know you by name, you're missing something. He needs to know you by name. And the only way that's going to happen is if you're connecting with him on a regular basis as well. So, I was kind of struck with those thoughts that came out. Last evening we had a birthday party for my sister-in-law, and so all of us siblings got together, and I began to realize we're getting old. And I asked the think tanks of my brother-in-law's that question about tattoos, and they said the same thing, identity. And taking Bible out of school was a big factor. So I'm hearing it from different sources. Now, I'm going to just briefly touch something, and that is makeup. You know, when I grew up as a boy, you know, I came out of a setting where we did makeup and that kind of thing. And I just think that I'm just going to give you an illustration here. I've done this before, I think. But those circles are people, okay? We have people that have grown up in pretty bad scenarios. And we have people that have, they're born in Christian homes and they have all this, you know, everything's going for them. But my wife was at the women's retreat thing, and she is connecting with a woman who, Baltimore, I think it is? Philly. Anyway, she was raised Catholic, born in a Catholic home, and she got connected and found out the conservative people. And her statement was this. She says, why are so many people who know what's right going the wrong direction. Why? And I think it goes back to this identity crisis. They're not identified with Christ the way they should be. This woman, she's going the right direction. And the question is, we have a choice every day to choose what direction we want to go. And just because you're in the gutter doesn't mean that you can't come out right, because God loves you. And God wants you to be a part of his fold so that you can experience the joy, the peace, the satisfaction, and the life that he promises to those that love him. Coming to makeup, when I was a young boy, it was ingrained in me that you only paint dead things. And I'm thankful. My wife doesn't use makeup. She's a beautiful woman, and that you can have your own say. You have your own beautiful woman too. But to me, I think that's what God wants. He doesn't want us to be painted up. He doesn't want us to add things to ourselves, because he wants glory from us without all this extra. He doesn't want this extra stuff that supposedly the culture is saying will make you beautiful. Our beauty is found in Jesus Christ. Our beauty is found in a relationship with Jesus. And you have to have this identity with Christ, or you will not come out right. I think about these people that have these earrings. I mean, I've seen some pretty big holes in ears already. And when I was growing up in my early years, I went to Locust Grove Mennonite School. It was the Taj Mahal school at that time. And we saw pictures of big ears and everything plastered with jewelry on their face in Africa. And we called that heathen land. And it's like this, that all has come here. It has come into this country, which was founded on biblical principles, which was a supposedly God-fearing country at one time, which has dramatically changed, because the devil, I think, knows his days are numbered, and he's trying his very best to change this culture into an anti-God system, and he's doing quite a big job of it. I mean, anyway, I don't want to get down that bunny trail too far. But let's go into what I'd like to share, and that is identity. I would like if you would sing the song, the Christian hymnal, not hymnary, hymnal. Yeah. And it's my favorite song. You should all know it. It's 376. I'm going to put some stuff on the board here.
To be more like Jesus and follow him day by day. Number 376, Christian hymn.
Lord, I want to be more.
Identity in Christ. This is what identity in Christ is or can do for you. And that's the first thing I've written down there is it has you have an intimate relationship. And we all know this psalm. I'd like to read it. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ when you have given yourself over to Jesus Christ and saying, "Lord, I'm yours. I surrender everything to you. Whatever you want me to do today, show me, help me." And that attitude will put you in a place where God can use you. Too many times people like to try and tell God what to do. And we can't do that. You know, we don't know why these three men went down this plane. We don't know that. But God does. God has a purpose and a plan. I don't know. He allowed this to happen for some reason. And one of the reasons is for God's glory to be exalted. And I thought about that with Les, you know, who lost a wife. God blessed you with another wife. And you have found the joy of the Lord in your life because you have yielded yourself to God. And the family has been blessed as well. I mean, there's so many things that we don't understand sometimes. But as long as we are focusing on God, I think of we said about people get bitter. And the only difference between bitter and better is where is Jesus in your life. In other words, if you accept things, understand that Jesus loves you, Jesus has a purpose, Jesus has a plan, you can rest in that. And if you don't, you're going to get bitter. There's no question about it. You'll get bitter. In 2 Corinthians, we read this. I think we did. 2 Corinthians, yeah. Didn't you read that?
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 1, 7. Oh, you had 4. Okay. Let's go to that. It's 2 Corinthians 1. And there's a couple of verses here I'd like to read. If I go to 2 Corinthians, I'd be better off. Because first doesn't say it right. All right, I'd like to begin reading 2 Corinthians 1, 7. "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be to the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came upon us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we were despaired even of our life. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, and we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, as he will yet deliver us." When we have this identity, when we are connected with Christ, he will deliver us in every aspect of life, mm-hmm. in every sorrow, in every circumstance. God loves you so much that he cares about the little things. I'm not sure if it's because of my age, but you know, when I lose my keys or I lose my phone, I kind of get a little bit, what do I do with this? And a lot of times I usually say, "Lord, help me find this." And it's amazing how many times that happens. He helps me find it. Either by myself or through my wife, one or the other. But, you know, God helps you find it. All right. And John 8, 36. John chapter 8, verse 36 reads like this. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be freed indeed. An emancipator is, I didn't really use that word before until Abner came on the scene, you know, and he used that word a couple times, right? And, you know, he's the one that frees you, he delivers you. And Jesus is that, but you have to connect with him so you can experience that. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. But he will give you freedom from bondage. Over and over throughout Old Testament, even to now, God's desire is that we will be free men, free people, freedom in Christ. And when that doesn't mean it's all peaches and cream, but that does mean that it's the best thing for you. It's good for you to go through what you're going through because God has a purpose and a plan for that. In Galatians, it's a new creature. I'm not sure I want to read all this because I have some other reading I want to get done. That's Galatians 6, 14 to 15, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 18. We are transformed when we have this identity, which is Romans 12, 1 and 2. And when we're in the image of Christ, that song we sang, I want to be more like Jesus. That should be our desire on a regular basis. And in Colossians 1, 12 to 19, you know, you should read that one. I kind of like that because it helps us understand, you know, why was man created? I mean, I asked that question when I was a teenager, and I had to come back to the realization that we were created for God's glory, and this actually helps us understand that. Colossians 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. Colossians 1, 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Right now, if you get involved in or see what's happening in the political world or our nation or whatever, it can become very depressing, discouraging, and it's bad. But remember, Jesus Christ, it's all for his glory. When it's all said and done, I think one of the things that, thinking of what I just said about, you know, our nation, our country, whatever we're at, I think it's wisdom for us to pray that God's glory would be exalted through this whole process. I think that should be our prayer. Because it will happen. But we need to sometimes tell ourselves so that we don't get off track ourselves. All right. In we are a treasure. Jesus Christ is in us as a treasure in our earthen vessels, like we already talked about. And yielding to God. The question in Romans 6, 12 and 14, the question, I can just read that yet. Romans 6. Yeah, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Know ye not, whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that from the doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from the sin, ye became servants of the righteous. So we need to yield ourselves to God, and that's helping ourselves to be identified in Christ. This past week, I had a customer who I talk to people about God. There's just the way it is. And this person made this statement, and it struck me. He says, "We are living in the days of Sodom." He said, "We are living in the days of Sodom." And when he said that, I'd like to read a couple of verses here that help us understand where this is. And that's why I'm a little bit passionate on helping us understand how critical or how short life is. Because in Luke 17, I'd like to begin reading it, verse 26. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." I think we're very close to that with things that are happening. And the most all my customers, I say, well, the most important thing for each one of us is to make sure that we are ready to meet the Lord. And I'm saying that to each one of you. In other words, you need to identify with Christ if you want to be able to come out right. And my prayer is that we would see the importance of Jesus Christ in our hearts, in our lives. Two portions of scripture I'm going to read yet, and I'm not going to have a whole lot of comment, but I hope you understand my heart. John 10. If you would turn to John 10, we'd like to read the first 18 verses. John chapter 10. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth into the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received my Father." We know that Jesus is a good shepherd, and Jesus says that we're sheep. And the characteristics of sheep are not good. I have written down here four words. Sheep are dirty. They're dumb, dependent, and defenseless. I have yet to see fangs coming out of a sheep. I have yet to see claws coming out of a sheep. They are defenseless, helpless, dumb animals. That's why they have dogs to chase them. I mean, dogs are smarter than sheep. But what I'm driving at is Jesus describes us as sheep, and that means we need to be dependent on the shepherd. And the shepherd loves us. The shepherd will lay down his life for us. He wants the best for us, so we need to have that relationship or that identity in Christ so that he can take care of us. The thing that stood out to me in verse 3, he calleth his own sheep by name. That's why I was saying before, does Jesus know your name? Are you connected? Did you accept him as your personal Savior? Are you having an identity with him through this relationship? Which, this is what God wants. It's personal. It's a personal relationship. We find our identity in Christ, our self-worth through Jesus. And, you know, Jesus loves us so we can experience life in verse 10. It says, I am come that they might have life. I mean, it's interesting. When a person is a new creature and they're transformed, you can tell when a person is transformed and they're a new creature in Christ because of their expression or their enthusiasm or their excitement or, you know, just the way they talk or what they talk about. That's when you are having identity with Christ, because people can see that. I guess some questions we need to ask ourselves. Do we really know him? Are we really identified in Christ as we go through life? And do I really know Jesus like I should? The thing that some people forget is this relationship with God is a two-way street. Like when I shared with you at the very beginning, I felt led to do something and I did it. And I realized less than a week later that I think God told me to do that, so I didn't have the crisis that I could have had. And the question is, are you listening to God? Are you letting his spirit talk to you? Now, when the Bible says that we need to try the spirits, whether they're of God or not, and the way you do that is you have to know the truth, you have to know the scripture, so that it's what being told you correlates or runs parallel with what the truth, what God's word says. That's how you know, because there are many spirits out there, and they're not all good. All right. My last reading, it's found in Philippians. And to me, I kind of wish, well, let me read it, and you'll understand where I'm at. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to begin reading at verse 1, Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shall shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day Christ, in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I have written down here just some characteristics that people who are identified with Christ, when they identify with Christ, they're unselfish, they're humble, they're peace-loving, they think of others, they're obedient to God, they're blameless, they're harmless, and they reflect the light of truth. So my question is, what is your identity? I have been impressed this past week. I came across, this is, I think it was Charles Stanley, he wrote this, and I think it's, the question is who you really are. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and your works are wonderful. Psalms 139. You may be tempted to define yourself according to what other people say about you, your looks, occupation, education, even your wealth. But such measures of your worth are faulty, temporary, ultimately unproductive, and perhaps you've noticed that it's the negative experiences that influence how you view yourself far more profoundly than the positive ones do. This is because, in our human wisdom, we don't have an accurate idea about what gives a person value. If we did, the Son of God wouldn't have had to been crucified. We would have the honor. We would have honored him knowing that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. No, my friend. The only truly capable one of judging your worth is the one who created you and paid the price and called you his own. In Jesus, you're eternally loved, accepted, adequate, victorious. Trust what he says about you and embrace your true identity, and that's in Jesus Christ. Lord, teach me to see my worth through your eyes. Thank you for creating, loving, redeeming, and planning a wonderful future for me. Everyone here is special. It's special in the sight of God. And my cry is that when you identify with Jesus Christ, you're not the only one that gets the blessing. The people that you associate with are also blessed. And God is glorified. And that's what really matters. Let's bow our heads. My Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, for all that he's done for us. We ask you might help us to reflect him in every way so that the world can see more clearly your glory. We ask you might help each one here, help each one of us, Father, to be open and honest before you and ourselves. And we ask that you might help us to be humble, help us to be holy, so that we in turn can just be an asset to your kingdom. We pray, Father, that you might help us to be ready for your second coming. And we ask you might give us the ability to be faithful, help us to make sure that our walk and our identity is rooted and grounded in Christ. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.